Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
There's something about you that calms my weary soul. There's something about you chills me from the cold. There's something about you that changes everything. There's something about you that makes me wanna say something about you. My knees. There's something about you that makes my life complete. There's something about you that rolls away the storm. There's something about you that gently makes me whole. And I
good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another exciting Looking Up show. It's September 4, and it's an incredibly beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in Lake Macquarie. My name is Danny, and today I am joined in the studio by my good Macedonian friend, Tom. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, Danny. It's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
It's great to have you. Today, folks, this is going to be a show like no other. We have two Macedonians at the same time in the Faith FM studio. This has never happened before. It may never happen again. So I'm glad you are tuning in from wherever that may be, around Australia or beyond the shores of our wonderful land. And we've also got our good friend, Shell. She's directing traffic as always. Welcome, Shell.
Hey, it's always good to be here.
Are you excited about having two Macedonians in the studio the same time, Shell? Like, this is unprecedented.
It's very, very cool. And I must say that one sounds a whole lot more Macedonian than the other.
Well, we're going to find out about the origins of the other Macedonian, the one that's not so mad. You know what? I was given a nickname when I was in Port Macquarie pastoring, Tom. I was given the nickname of the Mad Macedonian.
Like Mad Max.
Like just Mad Max.
In, just in Christianity.
Exactly. This one guy called me, you're the Mad Macedonian. And we've got, is Rochelle here? She's gone. Okay, so our friend Rochelle was here, and she was doing a bit of learning, a bit of training, and she'll be helping produce one of these days. So
she's just popped up for a second, so we can embarrass her in a minute.
We can embarrass her when she comes in. And that's our friend Rochelle that was with us with her husband Daz not so long ago. So sharing her testimony. And today you're going to share your journey of faith, Tom. That's exciting.
It is exciting. It is very exciting. And I want to share it. I think people need to hear some things.
Mm.
Some things that happened. Divine experiences.
Mm, indeed.
Blessings from God.
Yeah.
And I can say that I was always the one that wasn't believing that stuff is happening to people, and now I'm one of them in a radio show.
And now you're actually going to be sharing. So you're from a skeptic to a believer.
Well, my name says it all. So Thomas was the unbeliever, that didn't believe.
True. Doubting Thomas.
Yes.
Doubting Thomas. We've got Doubting Thomas in the studio from Macedonia. And by the way, that's the biblical land. Paul was invited in a dream to go to Macedonia and to preach the gospel. So that's where the good news of the gospel first entered Europe, Tom.
Yeah.
In our home country, Macedonia, which obviously the geography was a bit different back then, 2,000 years ago, but it was called Macedonia. It's those lands, exactly. So who knows? The Apostle Paul, he may have walked through my village.
For sure. And he stopped to drink some water and we won't go there.
And eat some of the beautiful chili peppers.
Yes, exactly.
And we'll talk all about that. So, folk, we're really looking forward to this journey. And Tom, I've gotten to know him over the last 12 months. We bumped into each other there at the Newcastle University Church when I first ran a program. I think last year it was
July.
Yeah, July last year we bumped into each other. He was invited by a friend of his to come along to this series that I was running on Bible prophecy, current world events, and just other Bible subjects. And we met there at the Newcastle University city campus.
Yeah, in the city campus.
Yeah, so that's where our journey began. And I'll never forget the first time we met, I was just so excited and
beautiful. It was mutual, you know, because of your vibrant personality and, you know, the way you were delivering the matter, the teachings, and it was quite interesting. Seriously, it was interesting. It was very inviting.
Yeah, and then you invited three of your friends,
of course, yes,
to come along, and we'll probably talk about that in our program today and how the Lord leads and guides.
Sure.
And so that was really, really exciting. And so, folk, if you're listening from up north, we want to let you know that we've got the weather from up north. I know in Queensland it's been pretty warm, and I was up in Townsville not so long ago, and it was beautiful weather like it is here in Lake Macquarie at the moment. So I take credit, Tom, for bringing down the Townsville weather with me.
Well, you take credit for a lot of stuff.
I do. Things that are reasonable and things that are not. If there's credit to be gained, I'm the first one. Well, when I've got a wife, you know, who's making sure she keeps me honest, you got to take every opportunity to take some credit, even if it's false credit. So have we got, we got our friend Rochelle. Rochelle's back. Welcome, Rochelle. Good to see you.
Thanks, Pastor Danny. It's great to be here.
Fantastic. So you've got your training wheels on, I see.
I loved it so much, I came back to learn how to do it.
Oh, fantastic. So, Rochelle loved the radio, and you're going to love this experience, Tom. Now, folk, if you want to connect with us, we'll be having a code word giveaway, as we always do. The book is called Words of Hope, Stories of Everyday Living. We're going to give you some more details as we go along. We're going to give you the code word. There are six copies, so the first six to send in their code word to the number 0488 17624. That's 0488 17624. We'll get a hold of this wonderful book. So we've got a jam-packed, exciting program for you this afternoon, folks. This is not one to miss. So if you've got any friends, even if you don't have any friends, let someone know to tune in right now and they will be blessed. In the meantime, before we continue with Tom and begin taking a look at his journey, we're going to take a look at our first song on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. And the song is by Focus, O God, Beyond All Praising. Sit back and enjoy. Hope you enjoyed that beautiful song. And you are listening to the Looking Up Show on this glorious Wednesday afternoon here at the Lake Macquarie Studios. And we are so blessed to be bringing you this program this afternoon. And I know that you are going to be blessed. Now, before we continue any further, I do just want to give a few plugs. And that is, firstly, there at my church that I've got a couple of churches that I pastor and blessed to pastor, the Newcastle University Church, where Tom is part of our church family, and also the Boolaroo Church, the Boolaroo Seventh-day Adventist Church there in Lake Macquarie. And we've got an exciting program coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So if you're around the Newcastle, Lake Macquarie area, even beyond, you are welcome to come along. It's a health and spiritual well-being program conducted by a husband and wife, Rachel and Rui Coelho. She's a doctor, and Rui, he's a former university lecturer, executive, international speaker, and evangelist, and I've spent some time with him. I've been overseas and run a campaign with him. So their program begins on Friday, September 20th, at 6 p.m. And these are some of the subjects that Dr. Rachel will be sharing in connection with health. The overall theme is restoring your health. And these are the six topics. I'm just going to run through them. It's over two weekends, so Friday, September 20, and Saturday, September 21, as well the following weekend, Friday, September 27, and Saturday, September 28. Sleeping soundly, the Good Gut Guide, alleviating arthritis, conquering cholesterol, defeating diabetes, and beating blood pressure. They're kind of pretty important subjects, aren't they, in connection with health?
Yep, of course.
So these programs will be held at the Boolaroo Seventh-day Adventist Church. So if you're anywhere in the area, please, join us. You're most welcome. So starting September 20 at 6 p.m. And Ruby will also be sharing on the Friday evening on September 20, and he'll be looking at a number of important Bible subjects from a prophetic point of view, and also from just a wonderful, you know, biblical point of view, where we're examining what the Bible has to say about how God can help us and guide us through everyday life experiences that we have. Also, we have a couple of other programs, and that is, I'll be heading to my hometown where I was actually born, in Footscray.
Oh, wow.
Melbourne. Yeah.
In Melbourne.
I'll be actually going to the church where it all began, where my parents were attending when I was born, the Seddon Seventh-day Adventist Church there in inner West Melbourne. I'll be there from September 13 to 15 to run a Globalism and New World Order seminar, the same one that I ran up in Townsville. If you've got any Townsville listeners, big shout out to you guys and hope you're having a blessed day. So I'll be running the same seminar September 13 to 15 and then also the same seminar in Coffs Harbour on October 17. So if you go to the Faith FM website, go to the events page and all the details of those two programs as well as all other programs are there in the events section. And by the way, Sharissa, in case you're wondering, where is Sharissa? She'll be coming back next week, God willing. So she's in Samoa at the moment. That's part of her homeland. She's part Samoan. And so she's there visiting. They are in Fiji for a couple of weeks running a mission, her and her husband, Justin, and little Judah. So yeah, she'll be coming back next week, God willing. So she'll tell us all about it. So can you believe it? We've got Shell, Rochelle, Sharissa, and then we've got another producer, yeah, Rachel. So that's why we've got to be on our best behavior.
If we hear
that, we'll know. All right. Without any further ado, let's get into your story. So let's start off at the beginning. As Shell rightly pointed out, you sound a little different to me, which is a very good thing. So you're an authentic Macedonian, whereas I'm kind of a bit of a pretend Macedonian.
Well, I wouldn't say pretend. That's a little bit of a strong wording.
I try. Well, I mean, I've shared with folk, my short bio is that I was conceived in Macedonia, dropped off in Melbourne. That's basically my short bio. Anyway, over to you.
Okay, well, the difference is that I'm born and raised over there.
Yeah, you were.
And coming from that country, I came here when I was 30. So already established. 30, wow. I was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I landed in Sydney. And it was a little bit of a cultural shock.
I can imagine.
I come from the capital, so I don't... It's still a city of a million citizens.
Skopje,
yes. Mm. But still, comparing to Sydney... Mm. It's still village.
It's a big village.
It's still village.
It's a big village. Yeah, that's right. All right. So let's, before we get to Sydney, let's wind back to, the beginnings. Were you born there in Skopje? Is that where your mum and dad are from?
Born in Skopje. And, I'm born 1977. For those who know, that was in that time, Macedonia was a part of Yugoslavia. Mm-hmm. And Yugoslavia was a dead set communist country. Mm. So religion was a big no-no.
Wow.
So
what about the Orthodox faith? Surely that was...
It was very suppressed.
Is that very right? Suppressed. Even the yes. even the yes. holy yes. Orthodox faith.
I'll tell you what. So,
well, that's news to me.
Some people, you know, were doing... A lot of people actually were doing virtue signaling back in the days mm-hmm. to prove themselves how good communists they are. Mm-hmm. And they were actually damaging Christians. Mm. And if you are a churchgoer or you're publicly open in Christianity and all that, there will be consequences at work. You will be, you know, put through hell.
Wow.
So in that manner, I was christened mm-hmm. when I was 9 months old mm-hmm. in secrecy.
Wow.
So the priest
I can't imagine this because I've been to Macedonia in the last little bit. Like,
well, now it's all open.
Yes. The Orthodox faith is like front and center. It's like flavor of the month everywhere you look.
The biggest communists now are the biggest Christians.
So the new faith is not communism now, it's Orthodox. So anyway, keep going. This is interesting.
And
how times have changed.
Times have changed. So as I said, the priest was in civilian clothes and he went to my grandparents' house.
Wow.
And he had in a bag, in a sports bag, he had his robes and all the crosses and
wow.
everything. And yeah, we prepared everything. I have photos. Those photos were not shown to anyone. Because my granddad, my grandma, mum, everyone would have consequences at work.
Wow.
They would have been put through a lot of difficulties. And that's how it happened. So, wow. And then after the 90s, when I was 13 years old, it was open for
because you've the got religion. The wars. You've got the war that sort of breaks out in those early 90s, wasn't it? There was the
Yugoslavian war.
Yeah, the Yugoslavian
between
war.
between Serbs and Croats,
yeah.
Between Orthodox and Catholics.
Yep.
And then we had between Serbs and Bosnians, between Orthodox and Muslims, and then between Bosnians and Catholics.
So folks, I did tell you that this show is one for the record books, because when two Macedonians get in the same studio, it's not going to end well. Can you see? Everyone's at war with everyone. So wait a minute. Let me get this right. During that communist time, even though the Orthodox faith now is kind of like, if you're a Macedonian in Macedonia now and you're not Orthodox, you say I'm something different. You're looked down upon today.
Yeah.
You know, in 2024. But back then, the Orthodox faith was something that was, very much on the nose as far as the Communist Party was concerned.
If the thing is, if you go to church to pray, mm-hmm. You don't tell people about it. Mm. That's the general rule. You're not taking pride in that.
Mm.
You know, you're not open about it.
Yeah.
It's some sort of like a, not shame, but something that you just don't want to share it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Wow. So, wow. That's amazing.
And then after the 1990, that's when the Yugoslavia collapsed. And mm-hmm. so Macedonia, entered from communism, like all the others, entered democracy. Mm-hmm. So people were thirsty for religion. People were thirsty for democracy, for Western values, mm-hmm. and all that. So there was fight. The communists were still holding power, and they didn't give up that power until 1998. So for 8 years, they were using the wars all across the other countries. Mm-hmm. As a distraction, so by forging elections and all that, they stayed in power until 1998.
So was there a lot of turmoil between, say, 1990 and 98? Because I was in Macedonia in 1992 and 1993, those 2 years, and I spent like about 3 months in 1993 visiting my rallies. I wasn't in the cities, I was mainly in the villages.
Just for the listeners to have a better idea, what we are talking about, we're talking about time of transition. Mm. And when we say communism, what does that translate to? Every single company, everything belonged to the state. Mm. There was no private property.
Mm.
So people were thirsty to have private property, houses, units, factories. So between 1990 and 1998, all those public or government-owned companies were robbed by the management of those companies. So that money that was in the government hands just went into private hands, which created the oligarchs, a new money people, I can say that after the 1998, the political party that came into power, they were identifying themselves as a Democristian party, and in their statute as a party, it was if ever the party collapses, all the property goes to the church. So they were that religious.
Oh wow!
So from communist.
Wow. The pendulum swung completely.
Yes,
to the other side.
Yes.
So were there free elections?
Yeah,
that were held.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And were they the first free elections that were held in? Well,
we had others, but they were all yeah.
Yeah. Stitched up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very.
Or as our friend Donald Trump would say, rigged.
Yeah,
rigged. So that's the kind of background of Macedonia and how you grew up and the kind of context and climate.
Yep.
Now, your parents, did they have any other children apart from you?
Yes, I have a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's younger, my only older? Younger brother, 3 years younger, but we shared a room. We didn't have our own rooms. Mm-hmm. That was the conditions that we were raised. And to be honest, better. I like that better.
Live in a small little two-bedroom unit kind of thing? Because I know the Skopje's got tons of units everywhere.
Yeah. We're two-bedroom unit, small one, barely space to do anything, you know. So, But we loved it. And I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest.
Where is your brother at the moment? Is
he's in Skopje. He is renovating at the moment. He's renovating his unit.
Okay. Fantastic.
It's summer over there. It's hot. He can't work. Yeah, it's a challenge for him now. We just spoke. I talk with my family every weekend, with mum every Saturday.
Can he speak English? Can he understand English?
Not a word.
Not a word. Okay, so there's no point in telling him about the program and
not a
him
word.
Tuning in.
So, yeah, so that's 98. So 98, we had the – so officially communism collapsed 1990, but it stayed dragged until 1998. Yeah. And then the nationalists came into power, which is the Christians and all that. But also there was from the ethnic group of Albanians, there were the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some clashes and a small civil war in Kosovo, 1999. Mm-hmm. And then 2001, we had the civil war, which was a religious-based Muslims versus Christians.
Well, in Macedonia itself.
Yes, 2001, yeah, it was a civil war, yeah.
Wow.
So, well, we can't call it a war because we can call it a conflict just because it was forbidden to call it a war.
a bit like how Vladimir Putin at the moment, or he's been saying, we're special operations.
Yeah, misunderstanding.
Special operations in Ukraine.
Very special.
But yeah, so it's interesting how these political games are done on the world stage. So you were 21 years old when this new regime came to town, when the pendulum swung. And so it's going to be interesting to see now how, I mean, you're 21, you're prime in your youth, and you've got the world ahead of you and life ahead of you, and you want to now begin your journey. So after this song from Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, what a cool name, Keep Your Eyes on Jesus. Oh, that's what we need, keeping our eyes on Jesus. We're going to come back and we're going to find out what happened next.
Keep your eyes on Jesus when the tidal waves of trouble around you roll. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will calm the storms of life that toss your soul. Living in a world that's full of sorrow, we are tried and tempted every day, knowing not the secrets of tomorrow. We find rescue when we watch and pray. Keep your eyes on Jesus, when the tidal waves of trouble round you roll, keep your eyes on Jesus. He will calm the storms of life that toss your soul.
In Matthew chapter 14, when the disciples were in the ship in the midst of the sea, being tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for help. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee upon the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Peter was doing all right while he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he looked away to the rolling waves about him, he began to sink. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Being tossed in this life by disappointments and temptations, we are very much the same as this disciple. If we want to live for Jesus, we must keep our eyes on him and not the pleasures of this world.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
when the tidal waves of trouble round you roll. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will calm the storms of life that toss your soul.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Jesus.
You're listening to the Looking Up Show, and indeed we need to be looking unto Jesus. That's why it's called the Looking Up Show, because Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, all this craziness that we see each and every day. And by the way, in case you're wondering, what about our current events in connection with Bible prophecy? Where is that segment? Well, we're just holding fire on that. And when Sharissa comes back, we have got some incredible prophetic updates for you. So we've been like 3 weeks now that we've been on hold with that. And when Sharissa comes back, we're going to be spending at least one full program on that, because there's a lot to catch up, because there's a lot going on, Tom.
Yes, yes, indeed.
There's tons and tons going on. Well, we've got our special guest here all the way from Macedonia, my good mate Tom. So it's exciting. Now living in Australia, now he's an Aussie.
Yeah, I came with a plane, not on a boat.
My parents came on a boat. So
three months journey.
I have got a lot of time and a lot of compassion for the boat people. You know how they are on the news, the boat people? They're getting shipped from one place to another, and no one wants to deal with them, the poor boat people.
Well, it's a journey for them as well.
My parents were boat people, so I've got a lot of time for the boat. If I was prime minister, things would be very different. So, folk, if you want to elect me to be prime minister, I'm going to deal with the boat people crisis.
We have a nomination.
That'll be the end of everything that we know that is good in Australia. If I end up,
at least we're all not going to work on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely.
If you get elected,
I'll close everything down. I'll make everyone. I'll do what Donald Trump has said. I'm going to make everyone pray, and I'm going to make everyone go to church. Everyone read their Bibles. We will be a very moral and upright country.
Maybe that's all we need.
That sounds like Revelation 13, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Indeed. Well, folk, if you're joining us for the first time, a big welcome to you, and I hope and pray that you are being blessed, and we're going to continue this journey with Tom. But before we do, just a reminder of what our book is today, our giveaway book. We've got 6 copies of this book, Words of Hope, Stories of Everyday Living, and these are some of the subjects in this book, this wonderful devotional classic from the author Ellen White, who wrote more than a century ago, and just beautiful message on everyday Christianity and spirituality. Chapters like The Hidden Treasure, The Great Pearl, Asking in Order to Give, and so on and so forth. So a number of the scenes from Jesus' life, some of the object lessons that he shared, incidents in his life are part of this book. So we're going to be sharing with you the code word probably in our next section. There are 6 copies, so when we give the code word, you would need to be one of the first 6 listeners to text in the code word to 0488817624. That's 0488817624. And if Sarah, Roman, and Tyler are listening right now, big shout out to you guys. We'll get to you soon. We'll get to you soon. Your story is part of this journey, isn't it, Tom?
Of course, yeah.
It's a big part of the story. So we'll get to them in a little bit. So where were we? I think we were talking about this transition that was taking place, and, you know, you're 21 and 1998 and so forth.
Yep.
Where were you at? Like, what were you doing in your life at that time?
Yes, at that time, out of nowhere, I got married.
Wow.
And
at the age of 21?
Yes.
Wow, that's nice and young.
Actually, at the age of 20, at 21, I already became dad.
No way, Jose.
Oh, yeah.
You're a dad at 21, married at 20.
At 21.
Wow, you didn't waste any time.
No one, with my ex-wife, We knew each other since high school.
Okay.
Since we were 14, basically from the start of high school. Mm-hmm. And we fell in love, and no one gave us a manual how to you know, behave in that relationship. And things happened. And when life happens, we have to respect that and the wish of our Lord. So we had that, and then after that we had our son Damien, mm-hmm. That is now 26 years old.
Where
lives in Negotino. That's a small town in Macedonia, mm-hmm. and he is a manager in a company. And
he's a bit of an entrepreneur, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's into business and into creating wealth and mm-hmm. as a person in the mid-20s would be. Mm-hmm. Very ambitious, very smart, very intelligent. And 5 years after my son was born, my daughter was born, Anna. You've met her?
Mm, yes, I have.
And lovely lady, very intelligent as well. More creative, more on the creative side. She came to Newcastle to live and study. But then again, for Christmas, she went to Melbourne, your town.
My hometown.
Your town. And then...
from Macedonia to Melbourne.
And then she just said that, you know what, I like it here. And from the photos from Facebook and all that, she met some friends. They were going in spas. Oh. They were shopping, clothes.
The shopping mecca. Australia's shopping mecca would have to be Melbourne.
So she just asked me to, she didn't even bother to come back to Newcastle. She just said, send me all my clothes.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
She didn't bother coming to pick it up herself.
Send me all my clothes. And then after she found a roommate first mm-hmm. from Vietnam mm-hmm. and they got a unit and mm-hmm. they have each bedroom and all that. So we had to, furnish it and mm-hmm. buy washing machines and everything and all that. I just helped out from here. And then she had her car here, so I had to drive to Melbourne to deliver the car. So that was a journey as well, driving for so many hours. Anyway, she got her car, and now she's in Melbourne, very happy. She's studying fashion merchandise. Oh. And I just
That's
said
right
to
up her alley, right up her alley.
Yeah, I just said to her, darling, there is a big difference between shopping for clothes and selling them. So... I hope that she is learning her lesson, but she loves it. She's very dedicated to the studies and every subject and all that. And she just wants to study more. So she's not struggling to find work, but she doesn't want to. She just wants to dedicate herself to studies. And
but she's still pretty young. So if your son's like 26, she's only like, what, about
21? 21, yeah. She's 22 now. Yeah, very. She's 2021 in October, something like that.
Spring chicken, as we say. Yeah, I'm sure she wouldn't want to hear that said about
her. She haven't even scratched the surface
Exactly.
So she said goodbye to Newcastle, and that's it. I had these two kids, and when I was 26, 27, we decided with my ex-wife that we're going to get divorced. We went through counseling first. They gave us a condition to wait for 1 year.
Wow, so you were still very young. The children, Anna was barely one or two.
Yeah, 2 years old.
Wow.
Two and a half one and a half, something like that.
And Damien's like about 7 years old or so, yeah.
And, the counselors said, just wait for a year until we do it official and we'll see. We're going to work on the relationship if we can save it.
Yeah.
So we did for 1 year, but I think from what we started when we were 14 with my ex-wife mm-hmm. and to what we became, how we developed, I developed in one way, she developed in a different way, so we had less and less things in common. Maybe we could have sorted out our differences, but I think being young and impatient was crucial for us to decide the easy way of separation.
Mm. So you've gone through that pain yourself and your ex-wife as well. Yeah, and. Yeah. Only those who have been in a
they know
the pain of all that. So today, when you have an opportunity, and they're at the Newcastle University Church, and we might have some folk from the Uni Church listening in right now, or potentially at a later time through the podcasts or on the website, because we upload all these programs. So these programs are available to
everyone.
Yeah, to be tuned into at any time by anyone at any time. when you get an opportunity to counsel young people in particular, single young people, when it comes to, you know, if they're asking you, Tom, you know, I'm thinking about this relationship, how should I approach it?
Well, it's still not official. It's still not official, but I'm just waiting from the government vet assist loan to be approved. I already enrolled into Christian counseling.
Oh, wow. So you want to help
people. Of course, by all means. Mm. By all means. It's going to be a two-year study. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will finish it in shorter period of time, but God will decide because I'm working full-time as well. Mm-hmm. But that will be my career change. Mm. Because Boilermaker is good money.
So that's what you're doing at the moment.
I'm working as a metal worker, a Boilermaker. I have another university degree from Macedonia, which is a Bachelor of Fine Arts, major in sculpture, mm-hmm. with addition to conservation and restoration mm-hmm. of artifacts.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. I was working 5 years during my studies in the museum of the National Museum, Archaeological National Museum. Yeah. And but you can't make money with art. Mm. You know, with sculpture, it's very difficult to support yourself. So that's why I already had knowledge in welding, in metalwork, because of the sculptures. And I converted that with the RPL into a boilermaking certification and qualification. And I became a boilermaker. Mm. And with the boilermaker, it's good money. Mm. It's good money. And I think with counseling, it's going to be less money, but it's not all about hard work,
but it's good money, yeah.
With counseling, probably is going to be less money, but it's all about money, isn't it?
No. Job satisfaction and how you feel you're being used by God through your gifts and abilities, and especially when you're able to invest in someone's life for the better.
I just want to show my respect to God for everything that He's done for me. Mm. And by helping God's children, and who are God's children? Everyone.
Everyone. Everyone.
I think that's the best way of saying thank you to God.
It indeed is. Yeah. Wow. So you've had this really traumatic experience, you and your ex-wife have had this traumatic experience while you're in your 20s.
Yes.
Where was God in the picture? Like, you know, we haven't really talked about that. You growing up, obviously you said you were baptized in secret at, you know, 9 months. Did you grow up in a very religious family and home?
Yes.
Did you guys read the Bible? Did you just pray? Yeah. Sort of what was your background and sort of how did that develop sort of into your 20s and when you got married and beyond?
So I come from religious grandparents on both sides, mum and dad as well. From my dad's mum's side, they are Christian ministers for 300 years.
Wow.
So with the civil war in Aegean Macedonia, they stopped, obviously, and no one carried on that tradition to be a priest, to be an Orthodox priest. But before that, as I said, 300 years. And it's in our surname, yeah, Pop Petrovi, you know.
That's, oh, wow, so, I had no idea.
Yeah, if you see in Macedonian surnames that someone has Pop, you know what a Pop is.
Yeah, Pop is priest. yeah, Pope.
So we are
Pope Francis, yeah. You know, Papa, which means father.
So from my grandmother's, my dad's grandmother's side, we are Pop Petrovi. So that proves that.
That's fascinating. Yeah. So the surname gives it away.
The surname gives it away, yeah.
Wow.
And they were very religious, both my grandmother and my granddad. They were, you know, going to church all the time, praying, very modest. And from my other side, from my mum's side, that those grandparents were very religious as well. So I grew up in monasteries. Like, mom would be school break in the monastery. Everyone would go in the lake and the sea. We would be in monasteries as kids.
In the summer.
And, you know, in Macedonia, it says, oh, it's for health. It's for health. You know, God will bless us if we go over there. So we would sleep like 5 days with the pops over there, with the monks.
Wow. You were
That's
entrenched.
My childhood, yeah. Especially in the Jovan Bigorski monastery. Mm-hmm. So that was our go-to. Okay. Jovan Bigorski Monastery, yes.
Whereabouts was that?
That's towards Debar.
Okay.
That's on the west, on the very far west border.
And in case people are wondering, Macedonia is a landlocked country. Yes. It's not very large.
No.
And it's only got just about 2 million people, maybe just over 2 million people.
Just over, yeah, that's
it. So it's a very small population. And, yeah, apart from Skopje, And there's a couple of other bigger towns, but the rest is villages. There's tons of villages everywhere. Some are larger, some are smaller.
But still. Yeah. Populated places, they call them.
Yeah, very much. So it's like, you know, the country is like one big village, you could say. You know, 2 million people, there's not a lot of people.
It's not.
So you grew up in a, with a heavy Christian influence, as you pointed out. So we're going to, I'm just thinking, we've got a few moments here, but I do want to ask you to think about how your faith that you grew up with as a child, how did that impact your journey into your primary high school years and then when you got married. So we want to explore that as we come along, and then we want to be transitioning to how did you begin to think differently when it comes to faith based on from where you were brought up and especially here in Australia. So that's where we're going to be transitioning in a little bit, folk. And I hope and pray that you've been blessed. So today's been a real cultural experience as well. I've learnt a whole bunch of things.
Indeed.
So it tells you I'm not a true blue Macedonian, because a lot of these things are like, wow, really? And so I'm learning a whole bunch of things as we go along. So we're going to be listening to The Lowly Heirs, and they're going to be singing this beautiful song, I Will. So sit back and enjoy.
Oh, my heart stops as you start to play. In slow motion, so I stop and stare and soak it up as you pull me under. Oh, I stop and stare and soak it up as you pull me under.
Yeah.
You were listening to The Lowly Heirs. I will hope you enjoyed that beautiful piece. You're listening to The Looking Up Show on this glorious Wednesday afternoon. It's September 4, and I've got my special guest here all the way from Macedonia, but now he's based in Australia. So
in Australia now.
Here's an Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
True blue.
He even puts a shrimp or two on the barbie. No, he doesn't. Not anymore because he's learnt a few things that we're going to get to. So it's about time. We need to give that book. We want to give this wonderful book that we've got as our giveaway today, Words of Hope. We have 6 copies of it. Words of Hope, Stories of Everyday Living. And if ever people needed hope, Tom, it's today, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, the hopelessness is just incredible.
The world is lost.
It's totally lost. Even in our land that we live in, that we're blessed to live in, you know, this, you know, beautiful land that my dad, when he came to Australia, he nicknamed Australia as the land flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah, but on the surface.
On the surface. So we've got everything. We've got
nice cars, nice houses, nice shopping centers. We have everything. But people deep inside.
But the heart is empty. And
people are lost.
They're lost. There's a deep void. And if ever there was a time when people needed hope, it's right now. So, folk, you might be thinking, oh, I'm not sure if I need this book. I mean, we all need hope, Words of Hope, Stories of Everyday Living. A wonderful compilation from Ellen White on a number of Bible stories in the life of Christ that she shares. But you may be able to give this to somebody else. This could be a gift for somebody else. So don't be thinking about just yourself and whether you would appreciate this book or not. But think of someone else that could do well with it. And you could say, hey, I got this from the Looking Up Show. I'm giving it to you as a gift. And by the way, you can give a little plug to them to tune into the Looking Up Show. So here is the code word. Are you all ready for the code word? The code word is LU24 Pearl. LU24 Pearl. That's PEARL. All one word. No images or whatever you call that thing that I can never get right. LU24 Pearl. That's the code word that you need to text to this number, 0488 176 24. So the first 6 to text in that word, the code word, the book is yours. And I know that you're going to enjoy it, or you may be able to pass that along to somebody else. All right, so Tom.
Yes.
Let's continue this exciting journey.
Let's.
So, tell us briefly in connection with just your faith journey from those early years all the way up until things began to change in your life.
Well, as you know, Macedonia as a country is quite religious. So, and having religious parents and grandparents, going to church was a must. And as you know, Easter and all the other religious holidays are quite big. We were always also worshiping at home, not only in church. So I grew up with that. But I must say that faith-wise and connection with God, I didn't take it seriously because it was more a tradition than a religion, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
It's more tradition than religion.
Yeah. But they're very sincere about their traditions, yes. But it is more tradition-based.
But it's more tradition.
It's tradition-based.
Yes.
Yeah.
The moment when I became religious and... it was when life and death are in question, and that happened when I lost my dad. My dad passed when I was 19, and because my mother was really in tears and unable to even talk, she wasn't even conscious what's going on around her. So I had to take care of everything from the funeral and coffins and.
Did he die suddenly? Did he?
Yes, heart attack.
Oh wow,
heart attack. Sad. Yes. And, he was a business owner, export, import, a lot of stress, and stress is the killer, right?
Indeed.
So I had to approve how he's dressed and how he's that in the coffin for the people, for the company that was preparing the body. And seeing my dad in a coffin without the God's breath in him made me realize some things. that we're just a shell. That without the God's breath, we're nothing. And I saw it. I saw my father. I mean, and that was a shock for me. And started from that point on, I started looking at the life that is given to us by God differently. Appreciating it more, not taking it for granted. And that influenced sort of all my life afterwards. Moving forward, as I said before, I got divorced 26, 27. I spent 2-3 more years in Macedonia with my kids and working over there. But in Macedonia, the maximum that you can get with your kids as a male, as a man, it's one weekend a fortnight. So in Australian terms, that's nothing, we know, in today's terms, but that's the Macedonian law. And for me, that was really painful.
So that was pretty much stock standard, was it?
Yeah. Mm. That was the maximum that you can get.
Maximum,
yes.
One weekend
yes,
every 2
and that's
weeks
because my ex-wife was very kind.
Wow.
That's only because she was kind.
Praise the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord. And it was unbearable for me, that situation. So I decided that that it's better to go and look for a life in another place. Mm-hmm. And knowing that a lot of Macedonians are going to Australia, I said, you know what, I'll go and see what that Australia is. I want to see. Is it a better life? And with the thought that maybe I'll get the kids one day with me. Mm-hmm. When they're growing up, maybe they'll want to come with me, which Damien, my son, was already there, but he changed his mind last minute when he was 15. Anna, she's here now. She's a citizen. She's
not moving out of Melbourne.
She's not moving out of Melbourne, mate.
She's not going from Melbourne to Macedonia, yeah. Unless she goes for a visit.
And then I came to Sydney. I was a student. I was doing an advanced diploma of marketing. And because...
came on a student visa.
On a student visa because the budget was very, very tight, put it that way. I could not afford a full room for myself, so I had to share the room. And I shared the room with a person, a guy from Russia. His name is Raman. And we witnessed each other's sorrows, talking with families.
Is he single as well?
Pardon?
Was he single as
well? Yes, yes. And a very good bloke. And we became good friends, not only roommates, not only flatmates, but we became good friends. And then after I moved to Newcastle, I invited him to come with me and a search for his luck in Newcastle as well for more opportunities, because he's an electrical engineer. So there's the power stations and the mines and all that. So more opportunities.
And being Russian, he's also Orthodox background. So he's had that in common.
So we had that in common, but also he was into Adventism. I don't know on what level at that stage, but he was into it. But when he arrived in Newcastle, he was full on, and he was going in Adventist church all the time and all that. And he found a job, and everything went fine. Everything went well. And he was always very happy to invite me, and I would go with him to Adventist church happening, lunches and all that, you know, free lunch and all that.
Oh, you can't go wrong. And at the Newcastle University Church, we meet on the Newcastle University campus, there, the Callaghan campus, free lunch every single Saturday.
Yes.
Every single Saturday.
I was hooked by it.
If the sermon is dodgy, and especially if I'm preaching and the sermon is dodgy, don't worry, don't stress. There's at least going to be a free feed after it.
And then I bought a house in Wall's End, which is about 100 meters, 200 meters away from the Multicultural Adventist Church, mm-hmm. as well. And we were going with Raman, with my friend, a few times, more than a few times. We went over there, lunch, Bible studies, this and that. And it was interesting. And so that was my introduction to Adventism. And we were going, you know, and Raman was the Adventist guy, but still Christianity.
So what did you think? What did you think of this Adventist church, which is very different to the Orthodox faith that you would have grown up in?
Yeah, it was.
Like not so much tradition, more sort of Bible-based.
Yes, well, the thing that is lacking in Orthodoxy is the knowledge of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And they have their arguments about it, that the prayer is the most important. They're putting the prayer on the pedestal, mm-hmm. and they're saying that, you know, the Bible is secondary or third place, you know, then rituals are a second, then the Bible maybe third or fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even after the life of the saints and all that.
Wow.
It's not that important, yeah. You know. I can tell you an anecdote. I was talking with a friend, someone that I know, and said, "Are you reading the Bible, mate?" He goes, "Well, that's for old people, man. Like, only old people read the Bible. Why would you read the Bible?" Anyways, so the Adventism's strongest point is the knowledge of the Bible.
Mm.
And that attracted me to get more knowledge about the Word of God. And the opportunity came last year when you were doing the sermons and the seminars into the University of Newcastle. And Roman called me, my friend Raman called me and said, "Look, there's going to be Bible studies, but more comprehensive ones. It's a series. It's going to be intensive studies at night and all that. And plus, the pastor is Macedonian."
So did you think he was just joking? What are the chances?
I thought he was joking. He said, "Mate, you know, even if he's not Macedonian, I'm convinced you know I want to go, you know." But, you know, and I didn't believe him. It didn't took even much notice, you know. But when I saw you and I said, "Oh, this is Macedonian," oh, well, you know, it is true. I thought he's joking.
And then we started speaking the lingo.
Yeah. And then, but also, you know, Macedonians, we say the Europeans from the south, we have our blood boils. You know, we're very passionate. And, and the way you delivered the teachings, you know, the seminar and the sermon was also very passionate, very energetic, and I was impressed by it, you know, and I wanted more. So only because my daughter was coming to Australia, I wanted to start going with Roman into the church in Warners Bay. But Roman said, "Look, your daughter's coming. Uni Church is closer. Better go there." I said, "Mate, you're rejecting me?" Because no, it's seriously, it's better. There's a lot of young people over there. She will blend in better. She will find friends and all that. I think you should go there. But as we mentioned before, my daughter went to Melbourne and I fell in love with the uni church. And also I started my Bible studies, with Warwick.
If Warwick's listening right now, we're at a later time. Big shout out, Warwick.
And Warwick, not only that, that is a Bible worker, but also we became friends, and he is also a mentor. Mm. You know, mentoring not only, you know, the Bibles or the Christianity. We're discussing a lot of stuff, and he's been a guide. He's been a real guide. God bless him.
Mm. Amen. Top guy. Him and his dear wife and their boys. Just wonderful people.
Yep. And started going. I think almost every Saturday I was there. Doing the lunch for free and doing the walks and all that. And I've learned a lot. But also, not only that I've learned a lot, but I had divine experiences as well, convictions, which are quite interesting. And they all happened in parallel. And I had some old ones that I started. And I have some new ones now that are very recent.
Mm.
And I think that the audience will be very happy to hear all about it. And observing the Sabbath and how it affects your life, and also continuously reading the Bible, how that affects for the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works with us.
Amen, amen. Well, we're looking forward to these divine experiences that you're going to share. And you invited, as I shared earlier, you invited your friend Roman and his girlfriend. They're engaged now. They're about to get married very soon, next month. October 11 is the big day, and you're going up
getting married in Adventism as well.
Incredible, yeah. They're getting baptized, and so that's really exciting. And their friend Tyler.
Of course.
Who joined them. So you invited them to come along to the program. You guys were sitting in the front, I remember. You
always.
Were right there in the front booth, and you were just soaking it up, and you were just so enjoying it. It was so wonderful to meet you guys, and praise the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord.
Well, folk, we have this beautiful song from the Lovell family, Still Small Voice. Enjoy, and we'll continue the discussion after this song.
The still small voice calling my name, calling my heart to praise His name. It's telling me that I should be better than this, so perfectly. I do believe that Christ in me, I'll trust in Him, He's all I need. He says, believe, have faith in me, and you will see. Still small voice calling me home, calling my faith to rise and soar, calling my lips to praise His name. It's telling me, my child, I love Thee.
Hope you enjoyed that beautiful piece from the Lovell family, Still Small Voice. Tom, if ever we needed to hear that still small voice, it's today, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And we've been journeying with you as you've been sharing with us how the Holy Spirit, that still small voice, has been leading and guiding you through different ways, different means. I mean, you could say it's by coincidence that you ended up in this room while you were studying there with Roman.
Yes.
And by the way, if you're listening, Roman, now or at a later time, big shout out to you, brother. He's a top guy. I've met him.
He's
just a top bloke. And he wasn't from a Seventh-day Adventist background to begin with either. From what I remember.
Yeah, from what I remember, yeah.
I think Pastor Vadim or someone else studied with him.
Yeah, yes. He went gradually.
He told me the story. Someone traveled from Sydney on train during COVID to do Bible studies with him. I remember one time on a Friday night during the program, he sat down and he shared with me the story while we were enjoying some delicious food at the seminar last year. And he was just sharing, you know, how moved and how touched he was by this. He was an elderly gentleman, like I think maybe in his 80s, possibly even in his 90s. I don't know. Roman would confirm that. But he would travel on the train every single week, this individual, the big trip from Sydney all the way to Newcastle to study the Bible with him. Just incredible.
Incredible.
Incredible. You know, the commitment. Don't you just love the commitment of people who just want to introduce people to Jesus. They want others to have what they have, and they're willing to do whatever it takes.
Exactly right.
I guess that was like the Apostle Paul, you know, he traveled to our home country of Macedonia.
Yes.
He was beaten, bashed, shipwrecked, and all in order to share. So we're going to give away the code word one last time, and then you have an opportunity to get hold of this book, Words of Hope, Stories of Everyday Living, and we already have two copies that are being claimed. So if you would like that book for yourself or for somebody else, text in the code word, which is LU24PEARL. That's P-E-A-R-L. And we've got a couple of comments here that have come through. One from Kira, and she says, "May the Lord be with you and with your spirit."
Thank you.
So that's from Kira. And David. God bless. David is he's our regular listener that's always is always putting in his two bob's worth, and we appreciate David from WA Clarkson. I hope that seminar went well over the weekend there, David. And he says, "Good afternoon, DJ Shell." Oh, that's, look at that, DJ Shell. Go DJ Shell. With Danny and special guest Tom, David of Belga WA, an attendee of the SDA Clarkson Church. So thank you guys for your messages. All right, Tom, back to you, brother. So
yeah.
Tell us, so you are being introduced to the Adventist faith and you're going to the Newcastle Uni Church, you're loving the lunches, you're enjoying the fellowship, you've come to the seminar, you've enjoyed that.
Yep.
Where to from here? So you're doing Bible studies with our friend Warwick.
Yep, yep.
And now you want to talk about some of these divine experiences.
Yeah. As I can say, when people will share divine experiences, I was the biggest skeptic.
Mm.
And I'm guilty of laughing at people, okay? And here I am now sitting here all with you.
Here we go. A skeptic turned believer.
Yeah, so here I am now sitting with you.
We've sharing got Believing my, Thomas. My Believing Thomas. We'll call him Believing Thomas, not Doubting Thomas.
So I had two convictions.
Mm-hmm.
One was, and they were both different. So as a blue collar worker, you would know that we use a lot of swear words.
Mm-hmm.
And, basically swear words are must. And, especially at work. And that, you know, never took notice that that's can be a bad thing. And I know that, you know, we're not supposed to, but never took it seriously ever. Mm-hmm. And, on four occasions, and it was always while talking on the phone, I started spitting uncontrollably. I was not in control of my body. I was using swear words to talk on the phone with someone, and I would start spitting just as if I have, if I can describe the experience, as if I had bugs in my mouth.
Wow.
Same experience, as if I had bugs in my mouth. And that was happening, as I said, 3-4 times in a period of a month, and that's it. The Holy Spirit left me. So he sent me the message, gave me the message, this is what you should do. And I was struggling for a long, long time to actually translate that message. I started using swear words at work, and then when I'm at home, I wasn't, and so on and so forth. Long story short, it took me about 7 months to realize that I have to change my environment. That the environment is very important, and that's not the environment that I'm supposed to be in, especially that we have open Satanists at work, like open about it. So that was the one conviction. And the second one was alcohol. And I wasn't even getting ready for it. I didn't even want it to. I wasn't a drinker. But, you know, like every blue collar worker, you come from work and you open up the fridge and you crack a cold one, right?
Mm.
Nothing wrong about that. And then for dinner, maybe you'll have a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
But the alcohol was consistent. I wasn't getting drunk, of course not. But the alcohol was consistent.
It was like a daily routine.
Daily routine.
After work.
Yep. After work and dinner. And the Holy Spirit just put these thoughts in my head that I have to stop, that it's not good for me. And I still had probably about $500 worth of alcohol in my cupboards, wow. which I never drink, but they're there, you know, like rakia and brandies. You know, I like to, you know, entertain guests, so I always offer selections. And I just stopped. And it was the easiest thing that I've ever done.
So you just stopped?
Just stopped. Just, I can't even describe it as a cold turkey because I seriously think that I had more attachment to the rubbish bin bag, putting it in the bin.
So you disposed of all your alcohol?
I gave it away.
You gave it away?
I gave it away, yeah. Straight after a couple of, and I think it was Warwick again. He said, you know what? I'm planning to give up alcohol. I had enough. That's it. I don't want to drink alcohol anymore. I said, where do you plan to do that? I said, oh, and it was like October or something. He goes, so where do you plan to do that? And I said, I don't know. Maybe after Christmas, I'll have wine for Christmas. Why wait? He goes, why wait? If you decided already, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? You're right. And that's how it happened. That's how it happened.
Wow.
So those were the two convictions. And I never actually was bothered or any cold turkey word or like nothing. Like I would never had, like it doesn't exist.
Wow.
It's just possible with the Holy Spirit. It's not possible any other way.
Because under normal circumstances, you would have some kind of reaction, kind of physical reaction that you're not drinking anymore because this was part and parcel of your everyday habit.
Denny, imagine even if you're chewing gums, right?
Mm.
Every day you're chewing gum for years and years and years, and all the way you stopped. Mm. You'll feel weird.
Of course.
Weird in the smallest sense of word. But I didn't even feel that. Mm. Nothing.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's quite amazing. So what did your work colleagues say anything about like the swearing and how that just evaporated?
What the Holy Spirit wanted to send the messages to change the environment. Mm-hmm. So slowly, because I tried pretending doing double life, one at home and in church where I'm not swearing, and then going to work and I'm the filthiest mouth ever, you know, like, wow. Well, not the filthiest mouth ever. I'm exaggerating, yeah. But still, you know.
Yeah.
And I tried that, living it double, didn't work. And now slowly, it's just a lot of prayer, mm-hmm. a lot of prayer. And now even at work, you know, I'm very rarely I will put in a swear words here and there. But when I get out of that blue collar environment, I think that that's all going to be the thing of the past.
And how did your fellow blue worker colleagues sort of?
Well,
feel about
I'm throwing a swear word here and there because by the expression of their face, you can see that without swearing, you're telling them that you think that you're better than them.
Is that right?
Of course.
So if I go in there, I can't remember the last time I swore. I mean, I would be.
Well, you'll be a pastor.
But if I went in there as a worker, if I was employed as a worker to work there as you are working.
Then it's different. You're coming fresh, clean slate. Mm-hmm. But for me,
they already know.
And now then, why are you pretending, mate? What's wrong with you?
Mm, wow.
You know what I mean?
What a challenge.
It's good. It's in the pretty much in the past. Mm. And I'm good with everyone. I have good relationship with everyone. Praise the Lord. I'm really blessed to be at that workplace.
Well, look, God puts us in various places of work or activity, whatever it may be, in order to be a witness, in order to share with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, people, like you said, they're all God's children. Everyone is part of God's children. And everyone needs the Lord. Yeah. Everyone needs the Lord. And
everyone.
And the best way to witness is just through your own life experience and just through your example.
And more recent, I don't know if we have time.
Oh, yeah, we've got about 4 minutes. Carry on.
The two more recent convictions, one came first a few months ago. And being the Tom the unbeliever. actually, I wasn't praying for the Lord to show himself to me, but it just came out of nowhere. And I'll talk about my experience. So on three occasions, one at home, one at the beach, when I'm doing my walk, and one in the car. I just for a few seconds felt that we are one. Like everyone. Like it was amazing. Life changing. It lasted probably 5 seconds or 7 seconds or something like that. Like really short amount of time. But I just realized that it was the feeling. Like a high state of consciousness. That we all humankind, we're all one. We come from one. And then the God's breath and all that starts to make sense. Then you understand it.
Mm.
It's not just words. And I was in a crisis after that. There's just a chain of events. And I asked God, said, tell me I'm on the right path. Just tell me that I'm on the right path. Show me. And I was driving, and the way I was driving, I positioned myself on an angle. The sun was on sunset, blinded me. And usually, I just couldn't see anything. It was just right in my face. And usually, the normal reaction would be that you will panic. But actually, I felt the biggest calmness, and the hands were steering. And it was on a curve as well. Wow. The hands were steering, and I was literally blind for 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and the car was steered by my hands, led by God.
Wow.
Blind. And with all calmness, no panic, nothing. Hmm. And this came as a advice from you for challenging verses from the Bible, and it has to do with a everlasting discussion about the Sabbath. And I had my challenges in understanding some of the passages, and the Holy Spirit here intervened, and it was about the purchases on Sabbath, and the principle that the Holy Spirit told me was that our interaction between ourselves, between people, on that day should not be based on money. So money should not be. And between the two people, because there's an energy, and he told me that money concentrated energy by men, manipulated energy. It's not godly. And I questioned that and challenged that, and the Holy Spirit just said one thing, and that changed me. Mm. Said, imagine. If that principle was not only on that day, imagine if 7 days was like that. Imagine how your life would be if money does not exist in your relationship with people, with any people, strangers, relatives, and yeah.
Wow. So the Holy Spirit bringing a lot of conviction and making it clear as to what God's plan and God's will was for your life.
Yeah, true.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for that. Still Small Voice, that beautiful song that we heard a little while ago. And now we have another song. This time it's entitled More Than Rubies from Live and Breathe. So sit back and enjoy, and we'll continue this discussion after this beautiful song.
The waves of grace wash over me, and I feel how thirsty I am. The truth runs deep to the heart of me, and I see how shallow I've been. Who can satisfy this cavern inside me? Jesus, come and be all I want and all I be, my portion and my strength forever. Jesus, come and be all I want and all I need. Be the one desiring me forever. You're everything, be everything I live in.
charms that tempt my heart grow strangely dim and powerless to your light. No other love is great enough to fill.
Everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
Set my heart on things above.
Hope you've been enjoying this edition of the Looking Up Show. We certainly have. Those of us who are here in the studio, Shell, myself, Danny, and with our special guest, Tom, we're in the final throes of this program, and the time just flies by so quickly every single time. We do have a couple more books left of our giveaway, Words of Hope, Stories of Everyday Living. So if you would like a book for yourself or for somebody else that would do well with this book, it's a great little book. They'll be thoroughly blessed. The code word is LU24 Pearl, P-E-A-R-L, and the number is 0488817624. Text that number, sorry, text that code word to 0488817624, and that book will be coming your way. So, Tom, as we continue this journey, this last main section of our program, yes. Can you believe how quickly the time has gone?
Oh, flies.
It flies, I'm telling you. It really does fly. So you were sharing with us, and during that beautiful song and in the little break that we had, you were sharing how God custom designs answers and divine experiences for you. No, wouldn't work for anybody else.
Exactly.
But for the person.
Exactly. I just want to point out that, you know, with any issue that I would had, or something that I think that needs to be discussed, some from the Bible, I talk about it with people.
Mm.
And, I'm hard about it, you know, opposing it. And I would hear different opinions, different explanations, and they're all good. They just don't work on me until the Holy Spirit one day. I listened to your advice. I was, as you said, do your research, do everything, and once you think you've done all your research, don't research anymore. Just pray, go to the verse. Pray, go to the verse, and don't research, don't discuss it, don't talk with
let the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So that actually worked.
Praise the Lord.
So I talked with everyone, with Dan Livingston, with Warwick, with you, and about some stuff, and it just wasn't reaching me. And I prayed over it, prayed. I did that research on the internet as well, prayed, and then left it and forgot about it. And as soon as I forgot about it, not forgot, but, you know, it just wasn't bothering me. The Holy Spirit worked.
Mm.
And the explanation that the Holy Spirit gave me was unheard of before. The approach, the point of view, was very, very unique. So
custom designed. Tom.
Yes, custom designed.
Tom the Pop.
Yeah.
Pop Tom.
Yes. So, you know, it is amazing.
It is amazing.
And
that's something only God can do.
I encourage just to the advice that you gave me to voice it out for all the listeners. That if you have something that is challenging from the Bible, read the verse, do your research, go on the internet, Google it, talk with people, and then when you're fed up with it, just stop doing it and just prayer, read the verse every day. Prayer, read the verse, and the Holy Spirit will be invited and He will work. He will tell Amen. You what to do. Amen.
Amen. Now, you were sharing as well during the break that God has made it very clear to you that He has a work for you to do, that where you are currently, it's not a bad place. You know, the Lord is blessing you there. You're earning a living, but God has a new path for you.
Yes. I can tell you that I wasn't taking witnessing seriously. I wasn't aware of the importance of witnessing. So just our life to be an example for someone. They don't even have to know that we're Christians. We don't even have to know that we're Adventists. But when they say, wow, these people, they're so good, you know, they look at their life, they're eating healthy, they're very cheerful, happy, and, you know, there's no sign of stress in their life, as if they live on heaven and earth. So, in our church, very good witnesses. We have Dan and Renee Livingston with their two angels.
Mm.
They live a very good life. And we have Warwick with the whole
Kaz
Schmidt family. And the boys. You know, so we have three generations, the grandparents, them.
Yes.
And also the boys. So three generations of the Schmidt family. And that is impressive how they live their life and how giving they are and how accommodating they are. We always have some events. It's always in their house. Mm. I don't know. We end up always.
Well, I think we've had about five or six baptisms at their place.
We always end up there.
The baptismal font, that swimming pool is being renamed the Newcastle University Adventist Church baptismal font. Now, they're very generous and they're very loving, very kind, very hospitable, which is a real blessing.
And I want to point out that what the Holy Spirit gave me in about witnessing is that we don't have to follow other people, other witnesses, other Christians. We can do it our own way, and we should do it our own way.
Custom designed witnessing.
Mm. So I'm a single bloke, right? How can I witness being a family man when my kids are all grown up? They're one in Melbourne, the other one is, I live by myself. How can I witness? You know, but I can show a good, healthy lifestyle, you know. Mm. Good connections, helping people. Now I've been doing this Christianity counseling course, you know, be that. Do counseling for free, pro bono, for people that can't afford it.
Mm.
Healthy lifestyle, healthy exercise.
So has your health and overall health and well-being been improved since you started really digging into God's word and taking on board a faith of your own?
Not it has improvement, but it still has a lot of room for improvement, but more clarity, I can say, Danny.
As in?
Clarity, what you need to do. So let's say for exercises, I thought that following the crowd, the mainstream, going to the gym, it's what I need to do. But actually the Holy Spirit said, no, you it's not for you. You have to do something that is custom for you. So I found people that exercise, that are exercising the elbows and the joints and the movements and all that. So that's something that will work for me because that's my weak point, my joints, because of all the years and years of work and worn off. So I need to maintain my joints. Also, very new. I'm becoming a vegetarian.
Wow. What has that? A Macedonian becoming vegetarian. Oh, no. Now I've heard it all.
Oh, the big steak lover. Oh, my God.
Oh, my. If you go to Macedonia and you say you're a vegetarian, they'll be like, well,
they'll kick me out. They'll kick me out of the country.
What religion is that? What country is that? They will kick you out.
They'll kick me out.
They won't stamp your passport. They won't let you back in there.
But also, it also, Danny, was with conviction.
Yeah.
And I want to share it.
So tell us about that conviction.
I know it sounds unbelievable. And it is probably. I was the biggest steak lover, right? The ones my friends know. So I'm laying on my lounge, and as if someone put the thoughts in my head that meat is something rotten. It's dead meat. Mate, it's dead meat. It's dead meat, mate. like it's meat that it's dead. Why would you put that in your mouth? And it created thinking about meat. It created negative thoughts. If something rotten, not unholy. It wasn't unholy. It's rotten. Some rotten, smelly. I would think about meat, and it was going to be You know, I imagine meat on the ground, old with bugs on it and all that, and smell coming out.
So appealing, people. People who are eating their steak right now, or they're chomping on their chicken drumstick, they're like, I can say they've had to put it down. So carry on. So you were really put off, and you would have grown up as a Macedonian, as a true blue Macedonian. You would have grown up eating meat. That's just,
yes, of course.
That's like breathing, you know.
Barbecue.
Exactly.
But even here as an Australian, you know, steak, you go in a pub, you eat steak. All you have to decide if it's medium rare or rare or.
Yeah, and I mean, Australians consume more meat than almost per capita than almost any other country on the planet. Yeah. I mean, you know, we grow so much ourselves, and and meat, yes, it's expensive, but it's not super expensive. Yeah. And, you know, the KFCs and the McDonald's and Burger Kings and so on and so forth, they've got tons of meat there on display for all. So it is very much part of our diets.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was just, as I said, thoughts were put in my head, and that's it. So, yeah, witnessing. I have to work on my witnessing, and it's going to be a slow process. I just want to put the word out there that everyone, you know, should be careful about, you know, how they're witnessing. As I said, you know, when you meet a vegan, you tell them, first thing they tell you, I'm a vegan. Mate, no one asks you. You don't have to tell me. So this one as well, we shouldn't shout, you know, who we are and what we are. It's just with our personal life, people to be inspired and to say, what made you? How are you doing this? Well, this.
Maybe. Tell me about it. Yeah,
rather than
you telling waiting for them to ask you.
Otherwise, it doesn't have effect.
Yeah,
if you just start telling someone and preaching and telling them about the gospel and all that, you know, they might listen for 30 seconds and they'll say, "Oh, I have a phone call that I have to make." You know,
Yeah, wow. So in this journey that you've been on, you've been doing Bible studies and studying, and obviously that's all sort of leading to that point. I mean, you were baptized as a young child, you know,
yes,
a little baby, yes, but yes. Obviously the Bible, you understand, teaches about, you know, baptism by those who make their own personal decisions. Yep. So where has that been at with you and understanding that when it comes to making a personal choice, that public declaration? Obviously you've witnessed a number of baptisms there at the Schmidt's place and so forth.
I think because as I said, I was a Bachelor of Fine Art and we learned a lot about other cultures and all that. So I was fascinated with other cultures' religious views since I was a teenager, right? And after studying from Hindu, Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, Maoism, Taoism, all the Japanese philosophies and Marcus Aurelius, the Roman ones and all that, I decided that I want to be a Christian. Made perfect sense for me. Although they're not bad, you know, but
there's good positives in all.
Of course, by all means. Mm. I'm not bashing them. Mm. I'm just saying that for me, Christianity works. Mm. It's proven. They're good philosophies, but Christianity works. Now, in regards to Adventism, I think God will decide. I just don't want to think about it, and the right time will come. God will decide.
He will lead and guide you.
Yes, yes.
As so, he has thus far.
Yeah, so I don't want to push things and set up dates or times or this and that and... So
you want to just continue the way God has been leading you and guiding you, and that's really important for people to understand that, you know, whenever Christ invites us to do anything, whether it be a change of career, whether it be to go to a particular church, whether it be to get baptized, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit brings conviction through His Word.
Yes.
And must be through His Word. And
absolutely.
That's how the Holy Spirit's been leading you thus far. So
absolutely.
So, you know, as long as you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit will be able to continue to speak to you in all matters, whether it be your work, your relationships, whether it be, what you do with your spiritual journey, everything. It's all related to God's Word and the Holy Spirit's leading.
Yeah. I also want to, you know, point out that all the members from the church contribute to the spiritual journey as well. For me, it was Warwick and his two young boys as well. But Warwick was more than just a Bible worker. I'll just point that again. You know, he's also a friend and a mentor and a spiritual guide as well. Mm.
Yeah, he loves to witness. I mean, he's a business person. He's got his own work. Yes. He's a business person. He's not a full-time Bible worker by any means. And he does this because he loves the Lord and he wants to share the Lord with others. So we thank God, and we've got a number of individuals like that at the university church.
Of course.
That are professionals or they're students and they're studying and sharing the good news with others.
All of them.
Absolutely. So, Faik, we're kind of almost at the end here, and we're going to be listening to The Lower Lights sing Nearer, My God, to Thee, and then we'll continue and wrap up.
Still all my songs
Hope you're enjoying that song, Nearer My God to Thee. Beautiful song from the Lower Lights. And folk, believe it or not, it's hard to believe whenever we get to this point in the program, but we are almost out of time and we've had a blessed time here enjoying and being blessed and being inspired by how God has been working and continues to work through the life of Tom, and all the way from Macedonia to Australia. He shared that journey, the journey of faith, and the many ways that God has spoken to him and encouraged him and just led in so many tangible ways to draw him closer to himself. And God can do that for each and every one of us. We're all unique. God loves us all. And as Tom pointed out on a number of occasions, God has a custom-designed way of reaching the heart of each and every person, because God loves all, and we praise him for that. Now, by the way, this coming Saturday afternoon, we have a special Q&A time there at the Newcastle University Church, Callaghan Campus. You can go to the Newcastle University Adventist Church website, and the details of how to get there are all on the website. We've got a Sabbath discussion, so we're going to be having a Q&A on the Sabbath. Every question you can imagine in connection with the Sabbath. So we're going to talk about that, what the Sabbath is all about, how to keep it, what the Bible says. So that's this Saturday afternoon, and we're going to be feeding you before that. We're going to have lunch before that, and before that I'll be sharing a message. And I don't get a chance to share too many messages because I'm here, there, and everywhere. But my message is on how to make a stand, how to make a stand in these very challenging times, in this day and age where truth is relative and where there are so many pressures to conform to the culture of this world. So that's what we're going to be looking at this coming Saturday, Tom.
Personal example.
Absolutely.
Personal example. Custom solution for yourself.
Mm.
Listen to the Spirit and try to find peace so you can listen more carefully, so you can listen better, because we are so distracted.
Mm. There's so much noise everywhere.
So much noise, you know. And just everyone should find their own solution of how to serve God. Mm. Everyone's different. Everyone has different skills. Everyone within their means, within their skills, within their talents, as the God gave us talents, right?
Indeed.
So we shouldn't be worried by following each other, what the others are doing. We can do our own. I mean, in the normal
well, follow God's direction for your life.
Yes.
As long as we're tuning into that still small voice,
exactly,
that's
yes.
all we have
yes,
to worry about.
Yes, yes.
Not focus on all the other noise around us. Just tune in, zero in on that still small voice and follow that voice.
Yes.
Praise the Lord for
Praise
that.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now, do you have a scripture that you'd like to share with our listeners that's been a real encouragement to you in your journey?
Yes. I have a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Lord's Prayer.
Mm, amen.
And especially from the New King James Version,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of versions, but from New King James Version, that one is just...
Are you able to share it with us? It'd be wonderful to hear that as we conclude.
So Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful prayer. And that prayer really does cover everything.
Everything.
It covers everything that we need to remain true and faithful to God, to remain on that journey, on that narrow path that leads upward.
Straight and narrow.
Straight and narrow that leads to the New Jerusalem. And so we praise the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord.
Well, we're going to close off with a prayer, and I'm going to have a prayer for you, Tom, have a prayer for all our listeners before we sign off. And once again, I want to thank you, Tom, for your willingness to come and to share what God has done.
Thank you for the invitation.
Amen. Let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for the way you work in mighty and wonderful ways in the lives of all your children who are willing to listen and to heed the voice of your Holy Spirit, that still small voice. Thank you, Lord, for the way you have taken Tom on this spiritual journey from his homeland in Macedonia all the way to Australia, everything that's gone on in his life and the way you've led and guided and the way you've directed in his life through many divine interactions. We thank you and praise you for each one. And Lord, we pray that your will continue to be done in his life as it is in all of our lives. Until we meet again, Lord, we pray that you'll bless us and guide and lead him and all of us. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, folk, we're at the end. And so, as always, remember that fear looks around, regret looks down, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up.
Keep looking up. Don't give up. Don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for